Yes, it is. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I just praise you and I glorify you, Father, that we do have an open heaven with you. And Lord, I ask and I pray that tonight you be the lead. You furnish us with whatever you want us to talk about. And I thank you, Father, for giving everybody here a revelation into whatever that is. And we'll have a great discussion tonight. You're going to be the one that's going to be glorified. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory, hallelujah. And I thank you, Father, for the victory for everybody here that's seeking victory in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that you be in fellowship, outreach, and all over the world has the victory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. And I thank you, Father, for it. It's this mighty name. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
I was out moving with Marla today, and I don't know, I think right after we came in or around when we were coming in or something, I started kind of getting this cold sinusy, I don't know, allergy, I don't know what it is, stuffiness in my nose a little bit, and I'm feeling it right now, and I just rebuke this in the name of Jesus. I don't know what you call yourself. I don't receive these lies. I am healed by Jesus' stripes. I am blessed. I'm not under the curse. I'm being redeemed from the curse. And I command all these lying symptoms to go in the name of Jesus. I am healed. I am healthy and delivered from these lying symptoms in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Amen. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. We command all them symptoms to go from her in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. She don't have to put up with it. We don't either. In Jesus' name, they're gone. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to
God. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got a testimony? Jesus is alive. Yeah, amen. Jesus is alive. Are y'all ready to listen to some worship song? I ran across this guy just a little bit while ago. I'd heard of him, but I don't remember ever listening to anything. But anybody ever heard of Stephen McWhorter? Okay. This thing is about 10 minutes long, but kind of an introduction to the song and how it got started and that kind of thing. It's pretty interesting. And what transpired after he did that. And it's pretty nice. So let's go ahead and, as they say on the stage, without further ado, we'll get started here.
So the song I'm about to play is called Come Jesus Come. And the reason this song exists is because I realized I wasn't very good at wanting him to return. And I wanted to be better at it. And so, I tried to just spend time with him, really adoring him at like the onset of the pandemic. You know, I was just kind of one of those people at home going, okay, it's the apocalypse. Time to buy a shotgun and stock up on Cocoa Pebbles and just... I let you in a little too deep. Sorry, I'm going back. okay, but, I just wanted to be better at it. And then I remember, like, last year my record label said to me, hey, you should go on TikTok. And I said, well, I'm not 12 and I don't dance, but okay, you know? So I went on. And I started just sharing the gospel, started just sharing Jesus and not selling anything, you know what I mean? Not being like, check out this, check out that. No, it was just all about him, you know? And I put this song on it, and overnight it went, like viral, whatever. And it's not about that. Please hear me. It's really not. Because of that, it opened up the opportunity for me to start going live on this platform. And I started hitting Facebook Live a little heavier too, just with the gospel, just worshiping Jesus and asking people if they want to give their life to him. I remember the first time I did it on here last September, because I've done it, you know, traveling for years. But in this environment, I was like, okay, does anybody on here want to give your life to Jesus? And somebody said yes. So I prayed with them, connected them in an email, and tried to get them connected to a church, all that kind of stuff. I was like, wow, this is awesome. The next night, 10 people. I was like, oh my goodness, okay. The next night, 50 people. Now, as of today, since September of last year, we have seen 30,000 people come to Jesus. And it's not about me. It's not about a song per se. It's about, man, in us, in the bride, y'all, there is a longing for Jesus to return that is supposed to be awakened. You know what I mean? Not this like, take me out of here, this place is terrible kind of a thing. Not that, you know, because it's actually to be so heavenly minded is to be more earthly good, right? Not the opposite. It's to like love people better. It's to build things here that actually matter. You know what I mean? And I realized, I was reading Revelation 22:17. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Think about that. The Spirit of God is longing for Jesus to return. So it's obviously something he wants than I wanted to, right? Every real revival, it has a couple of things attached to it, I believe. One is people are coming to Jesus like they are here at this church, by the way. And there's a longing for the return of Jesus that makes you love people, like I said, better. It makes you want to build things towards his return. Things that actually begin to matter. You stop trying to build a brand. You stop trying to build a business. You start building his kingdom, right? So right now, Jesus, we ask that you would just well up in everyone in this room, in every family in this room, in every home in this room, in this church right now, a deep longing for you to return. To get our heads, like it says in Colossians 3, our minds seated above where you, Lord, where you are. Our minds set above where you are throned as king. And to see from your perspective and to long for you to return. For that Revelation 21 where it says there'll be no more mourning, no more crying, no more death. For the old order of things have passed. Because you are now God. There's no more sun. You're the light. It's you, only you, Jesus. We want this, and we cry out with heaven, with all the saints, with the angels, and we say, come, Jesus, come. Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. And come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus. today be the day. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to hallelujah. Praise. I got me stirred up. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I just, it's called Come Jesus Come. Stephen McQuarrie. Yeah, I know. I've already shut it down. I'm sorry. Yeah, Lana.
Hey, Michael. I just wanted to ask for prayer and any discernment from the brethren here. So before the meeting started, I had asked for prayer for little Theo. He calmed down and went to bed, and then he got up and just out of the blue spit at his brother. And as soon as I approached him, it was anger and, you know, throwing his body all around. And I took him out to sit in his chair, and he's been growling and kicking. And I've been praying over him, and he has been physically trying to get me. And I want my child delivered of this, whatever this has been in him and wherever it came from. I want it gone.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, you heard it. And Lord, you said we have authority over all the power of the enemy. This is an enemy in her house. And in the name of Jesus, we bind that enemy up, that rebellious enemy, and command you to go from him right now in Jesus' name. You go right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for a complete turnaround of fear in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask and we pray right now. There's peace in this household in the name of Jesus. Much, much peace. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Spirit of anger, go. Spirit of rebellion, go. Spirit of anarchy, go right now in Jesus' name. Every spirit, not of God, you leave little field right now in the name of Jesus. You go from him right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that it is done in Jesus' name. Every tormenting spirit, leave little field right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for replacing it with your Spirit of God, with the Spirit of God, that peace and love and joy would be in his heart right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. Let the love of God flow through his body right now in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. Everybody believe that? Theo, you believe that?
Do you believe that?
Amen. You believe that, brother?
This is Barry.
Yeah. All right. Okay, son. Thank you, Father, for doing that for little Theo. In Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? Thank you, Lord. Lord, hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, I command those spirits of disrespect and dishonor for parents. You go in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He is. He's set free. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Amen. Spirit of peace in that house right now. Spirit of love in that house. The Spirit of God in that house. Yes. We break the spirit of Cain off of him in the name of Jesus. That's a good one, David. Thank you. Lord of God, it's awesome. It's gone. It's gone. Oh, God. Amen. Thank you, Father. It's done. Amen. All right. Anyone else?
Can I pray for Lana?
Sure. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Lord, for Lana. Father, I forbid the emotions to take over the situation. Thank you, Father, for bringing Lana into your perfect peace. Thank you for giving Lana grace and wisdom, Lord. Thank you for giving her a spirit of a sound mind and self-control and love and power. And it's not of herself, but it's of Christ. Thank you for blessing her heart, Lord, with the determination to raise these children for Christ, the children that you sought to give her, Lord, the children that you have planned from before the foundation of the world. I send the angels over there to minister to Lana right now in the name of Jesus, to build her up and to edify her. And to conquer all hindering spirits that are seeking to destroy the peace of this house. All Jezebel spirits that seek control while the head is gone. He's not gone. He's just traveling. He's very present. Everything is as it should be in that house because the sovereign God of the universe has ordained it to be so.
Amen.
All pity, all hopelessness, all fear and anxiety must leave in the name of Jesus.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that you fill that house with your Holy Spirit now, in Jesus' name, with the Spirit of God permeating that whole place in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that everything we prayed tonight for Lana and those children has been done in Jesus' name. And they're going to get a good night's sleep, wake up in the morning, hit their knees, and go to praying. And we thank you for it, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Geneva.
Hi, everyone. I just real quick wanted prayer for the Kia that we been working on for about 7 months. Praise the Lord. It's been a faith trial, but you know, God has blessed us and taught Morgan a lot along the way. Morgan, it's driving. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's getting him to work. But on the way home, it did shut off, and Morgan called me, and I was going to have to go get him, and he works about 45 minutes away, so it's going to take some time. And anyways, his phone died as well, so I kind of didn't know what to do, and so I just said a prayer with his mom, and I just asked the Lord to come over that car, command that car to start working. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some time had went by, and I was like, well, I guess I'm going to get in my car and drive and see if I can find him. And then he sent me a text. I guess the car came on. He has a charger in there and was able to charge it, and said, I'm on my way. Give me a call. And so I called him, and he was like, he told me that he said a prayer, and he felt like he just needed to go get a Gatorade and come back and just have faith and speak over it and tell it to come on and get him home in Jesus' name. And it did. And, you know, that's a 45-minute drive. So praise the Lord. I mean, it's just been car thing after car thing, but, you know, I know the Lord's blessing us through this. And, Morgan, you know, it was really awesome. We were talking about it. Morgan was like, James, like, I just feel like God wants me to have faith and believe that this thing's going to run on faith. And that's just how it's going to be, because it's fixed in Jesus' name. And so I just, you know, if you all pray and agree with me that, dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to keep this Kia running, Lord. It doesn't even have that many miles on it yet, Father. And Lord, you blessed us with this car way back when, and it is still a blessing to this day. And it's going to continue to be a blessing. And I thank you, Jesus, that, that Morgan has a good vehicle that's going to last and going to get him to and from work. And we're not going to have to just share one vehicle, God, because we got two. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing us with them. And I thank you for this patience trial. I thank you, God, for teaching Morgan everything he needs to know about cars and just increasing his knowledge, Father, and his faith more than anything, Lord. And Jesus, help us to not, I rebuke any spirits of frustration or fear in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just command from here on out this car to keep working, and it's going to stay working in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like he's preparing y'all for the wilderness. Glory to God. Yeah, no kidding.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. The trial is over. In Jesus' name. All right, Missy.
That reminded me of something with my Rav. I've had like three times, I think. Like, usually my vehicle's not out in the elements. And, but when it has been in the past and it rains really hard, it'll leak in on the passenger siding and the floor will get soaked. And the last time that happened, my air filter was all soaked and I had to set it out. But anyway, and I just, you know, last time it happened, I'm like, this will not happen again, blah, 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 you know, rebuking it. And just claiming that sealed whatever is causing that leak, it won't do it again. And the Lord's fixed it. And I just remembered the other day that the last time was at my, not this last time, but the time before that, like 2-3 weeks ago, when I was at my family's, I had it parked outside at Kurt's and it just poured, but it didn't get wet inside. Praise the Lord. It's fixed. So I just wanted to share that quick testimony. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for a rainproof round.
Right.
In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? All right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to talk about or a question or anything like that? Because I don't have an agenda tonight. All right, let's go ahead, Ben.
I'd like to ask for a prayer request. My coworker Sean, he's blown out his back. He's not a believer, but I said I'd pray for him, so I gotta pray for him now.
Okay.
Lord God, I once again bring Sean to the altar, Lord. He's going through a hard time right now with finances, and he's not going to work, and he's blown out his back, Lord. And I just ask that you give him miraculous healing, Lord, to show him that there is power beyond the natural, and that he receives a spirit of enlightenment to repent of his ways and to be shown the right way, the narrow path, beyond the broad road, but be to the narrow road, to your light, Lord, to his salvation, which is your Son, Lord. And not only that, but to keep walking in that and to keep pushing through that, Lord. I thank you so much for Sean, because he's a great guy and I know he has good in his heart. Just accentuate the good, Lord, and give him your Son, because he's righteous and we all want to share this with everyone that we see. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We thank you, Father, for granting repentance and bringing him into the kingdom because of this glorified thing that you fixed to do for him. In Jesus' name.
And I also pray that any pharmakia that the doctors are giving him don't block any of the healings. Amen. And that he sees that it's you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is done. All right. That's awesome. Yeah, David, go ahead. Or Lena.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, girl.
I wanted to share a quick, tiny little dream that I had, if I could. That's okay. Sure. I thought it was encouraging. We've recently been going through some trials with sickness again in our house and just being really tired and lack of sleep. And, but one night Adelina was up all night throwing up and I was up with her and I was getting like little 10 minute blips of sleep here and there in between her vomiting. But the Lord gave me a quick little dream in one of those moments where I fell asleep and I was in a car with Anna. She was driving and I was in the passenger seat and we were going down this road and there was a huge snowstorm and I saw clouds rising from the ground coming up and they started passing through the car. And as they were reaching my face, I was choking on the water from the clouds. And I was trying to get my head up above the clouds so I wouldn't choke so that I could breathe. And Anna reached over and she lifted my chin for me and held it up there so that my head would stay above the clouds. And that was it. And I was like, okay, that's such a weird dream. Like, what could that be? But then after meditating a little on it, the Lord just kind of put it on me that the clouds, they were my trials. And Anna's name means grace, and God's grace was just holding my head above the clouds, you know, carrying me through those trials. And I thought that was so sweet, like just such a sweet reminder that, you know, no matter what we're going through, he's not going to let us drown. He's not going to let us, you know, sink in those clouds in the water. His grace is holding us up. It's carrying us through. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these encouraging flashes you give us, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. He's holding our heads up above the water, Lord of God. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Alita. That was good. Lord, sometimes, how many of you sometimes feel like you need that grace? Lord of God, I do. Lord, hold my head up above this water. Amen. All right. Anyone else? All right, what do y'all want to talk about tonight? Somebody got a good subject. One at a time.
I got something I'd like to share. A cool little revelation. I don't know why I always laugh when it's, you know, good revelations that give you a good, that, you know, give you a good laugh. Not in a historical way, but in a good way. Now you remember how Jesus said, the Holy Spirit shall take of mine and show it unto you. He shall not speak of himself, but he shall take of mine and show it unto you. if I was sitting there, you know, the Lord was like, you know, I'm going to show you something. So I was like, all right, Lord, what you want to show me? He said, the Holy Spirit moves upon the face of the water. And after that, I said, let there be light. So he said to me, that was the gospel. And I was like, okay, all right. So he's like, this is how it was the gospel. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he shall, teach you all things and lead you into all truth. I was like, all right, he's using these scriptures. He's like, all right, man. Right? And so he said, the Holy Spirit moving on the face of the water. That means he shall teach you all things and lead you into all truth. He shall not take of mine, and he shall not speak of himself, but he shall take of mine and show it unto you. So the Lord said, let there be light. Christ said, I am the light of the world. But he's taking a price and showing on to us. And he said, you know, the Holy Spirit was moving upon the face of the waters. He said, the face of the waters is the word of God. He says, you got to look at the face of the waters as being the face of the Lord, too. And looking at the face of the waters as the Holy Spirit facing the deep things of God and revealing it unto you. But you can't have that without the light. So he first moved upon the face of the waters, letting you know he's, you know, he knows the deep things of God. He knows the face of God. To know the word of God is to look upon the face of God. That's the way he commentated it. And to know the deep things of God. So he said the Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. He's like, that's what he's doing for you. He's teaching you all things about the face of God. He's leading you into all truth. He's searching the deep things of God. Deep calls unto deep. I was like, get my mind blown at that moment. Like, the simple thing, I'm telling you, they blow your mind. They're beautiful. let me know if I'm talking too low. I want to say it the right way.
You are. It's hard to hear you, but we almost can make it out.
All right. Can y'all hear me now? If you need me to start over, I'll start over. And so the light, let there be light, that was Jesus. And so he just showed that whole entire combination right there where he was just like, see, I spoke the gospel before the creation of the world. That's why there was redemption for mankind. I planned mankind redemption before the foundations of the world. That's why there was no land that came up out of the water. There was no, that creation with man, that they're separating the land from the water. He said, you know, that was me showing a type of shadow of making man in my image and in my likeness. But it has to come from the word of God. The true image and likeness is inside. I'm just like, wow. Get my mind blown away some more. And so you see in everything, you know, God is just revealing the gospel right there. You know, and that's why when we look at that part where it deals with Moses, you know, how grace came before the law, you know, and where sin abound, grace abound more abundantly. You know, sin had no, how can I put it this way? Sin had absolutely no chance whatsoever. Sin had absolutely no chance whatsoever. You guys got to see this. Grace was spoken before anything was created. This is the thing that got to blow your mind. Sin has absolutely, had absolutely no chance. I mean, even when it tried, it failed. It could not conform the creation from the purpose of the word of God. And the Lord is trying to show us something. Sin had absolutely no chance from the beginning. So why are we believing on it? Why are we taking hold of it? You know, let us not make it so great of a manifestation of something that we forget how we were called before the foundations of the world. And he just did it in the beginning in a type of shadow. Just to show you how you were called before the foundation of the world in his own heart. And I find that to be mind blowing. But I just wanted to share that. I thought that was really cool. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was really awesome. Yeah.
Awesome. That's really good. Anybody got any comment? Well, if you don't have any comments, he must have nailed it. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else? What's God showing y'all? He's pretty quiet here. He's not showing anybody anything.
That's what I'm thinking. Y'all look so quiet. Why are you guys so quiet? All these people here, y'all have to say something.
Somebody better come up with something here.
Come on, Jesus. Somebody got something.
Amen. All right, go ahead, Claire.
For our little family, we've just been in a season of endurance. Lots of things have happened and haven't happened, and we endure anyway, regardless. And it's been wonderful that the Lord draws us closer to him. So, endurance. And I would say understanding more and more of what faith is and how that looks. So that's what we've been going through as a little family.
Amen. That's what we've been going through too, Claire. It's faith and what it is. It's an enduring until you see the results and knowing that it's coming. Praise God. Yeah, Julie.
Lord's just been speaking to me a lot just about praying a lot and interceding for the body, just for unity, for peace, for, you know, an increased measure of love and coming together in the spirit. And the other things, I guess, the things I've been going through personally is overcoming the mind of the flesh and what the enemy's been trying to put into my head, thoughts, you know, just taking captive of every thought, and vain imagination, and they can be anything. They could be anything. They could be something of, you know, just my past. They could be something of, you know, even a fear of the future or the unknown because it's the wilderness or what ifs and all these things, and just really taking captive the thoughts. And is that true? Wait a minute. If I'm dead, which I am, to sin, and the old Julie died, then, and if I have the mind of Christ, these thoughts would not even enter my mind because we're supposed to be focused on the heavenly things. And so if that's just been it's an everyday thing. We all have to do that. But, you know, I'm fighting the good fight of the faith. And it's like, wait a minute, that's not how I would think that. That's not what I would do. And that's, you know, and what if, right? And so it's, you know, it's just a process. But that is how we overcome, is taking captive every thought and not give the enemy place and not accept something that's like, wait a minute, no, I've been delivered of that. I wouldn't think that way. Or I don't think that about myself, or I don't think that about my relationship with my father, or he doesn't think that way about me, or whatever it is. It's just the enemy just bringing up things and just taking captive that thought and just say, no, I don't think that way anymore. No, that's not me. That's not what God says about me or my situation. And, but yeah, just that in itself is, you know, it's an everyday battle. We just all have to learn to fight the good fight of the faith and discern, you know. That's something I've been praying for myself and for everybody, is just to really be discerning our thoughts and where they come from, because there's a lot of, we have a lot of enemies. And just really got to be on guard and be watchful. So I know other people, you know, we all get attacked in our minds because that's what the enemy wants to do to us. So it's just something that we all need to be praying for and praying about and believe God to do it, you know. So I love you all. God bless you.
Amen. Yep, that's what we ought to be doing. Anybody else? Yeah, okay. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and shut her down. Amen.
I've been out the bit at this one right here. Okay. I want to get some people to get to thinking here. Satan in the beginning, how did he get Eve? You know, he didn't twist their arm. My tablet's making me look scared. Sorry about that. But he didn't twist their arm. He just spoke to it. And so in John, it says, we are of God. He that knows God hears us. He who is not of God hears us not. But, hears us not. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, spirit of error, I found that very interesting. You know, spirit of error. So I was looking at everything's doctrine, is basically what I'm saying. Everything's doctrine. Think about it this way. Babylon. Come, let us build a city. So they took bricks, they burned them, built the city, let us build a tower, and blah, blah, that reaches unto heaven. You know, why did they build that city? You know, why did they build that tower? Their doctrinal belief. Everything is doctrine when you think about it. God created the heavens and the earth by his word. You know, before we come up with a, you know, everything is a doctrine. How you live your lifestyle, you know, how you, what you decide to build. how they ate, what they sacrificed, you know, their holy days. It's all doctrine. It always starts off with some type of deceitful doctrine. You know, how we educate our kids in school, based on our doctrine. You know, how we run our churches, doctrine. You know, how we run our own personal lives, it's based on our own beliefs. You know, we have a doctrine on how we even run our own lives. You know, sometimes we believe the devil is stronger than God. Sometimes we believe demons are more around us than Jesus. We got this internal personal doctrine. You know, I like the way the apostles put it. You know, that which our eyes have seen, that which our hands have handled, you know, concerning the word of God, you know. And so I've been chewing at the bit with this, and I've been in Revelation. Well, you know, Revelations is a monster book to me. What I mean by that, it's one of those books I look in there and I'm like, dude. And the Lord was like, you need to stop doing that. You know, let me show you something. He says, I want you to look at everything in Revelations as doctrine. Every beast, angels, break it down in doctrine. And so I'm like, all right, this is, you know, and I'm not coming up with, the Lord's showing me how to break these things down. What would they mean doctrinally? Like, you got the one beast with the head of a lion, tail of a scorpion, body of this, body of that. And the Lord says, break it down in doctrine. Doctrinally, what do you think that this thing is? And when these people get stung by this certain type of thing, what do you think is going through their minds and to their hearts? You know, when you're thinking of, it speaks of that they have been in the plague and all these things and the afflictions, you know. What is the doctrinal part about it first? You know, look at it. Deception began with worry. You want to understand these beasts not just based on thinking of what they might do, causing tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and famines and, you know, great destruction. You have to look at them as doctrine. We got to break them down, line upon line, you know, here a little, there a little. And so I began to look at, you know, all the scriptures that way. You know, the donkey that Jesus rode on, what does that mean doctrinally? They laid down our garment, what does that mean doctrinally? And we have a tendency to do that with Jesus, you know. You know, oh, the donkey, what does that represent? You know, it represents humility. The garments being laid upon the ground, what that represents? Us laying down our lives for the to receive the coming thing, you know, into our hearts. You know, the palm branches, what does that represent? How we reverence that the goodness, his goodness that he has given unto us. You know, it's a form of worship. We're always breaking stuff down in stock. You know, the events in our lives, the occurrences that happen in our lives. Whose doctrine is it? You know, I know this sounds strange. I'm going to put it this way. You know how they like to spray the skies? And they call it cloud seeding. Airplanes passing by and they're always spraying these fake clouds across the sky. That's doctrine. These people believe in their God and they're performing their doctrine. And this is the manifestation of their doctrinal belief. And so, you know, I got picked off with it one day. And I was just like, you know what? You're going to go away. And I saw God, like, remove it. But he dealt with me a couple of days down the road before it even started happening, sometime down the road. And I was like, it's amazing. The Lord really is trying to show you that if you deal with the doctrine of a person's issue when you pray for them, so you can see the doctrine that they're under, you can see how to pray for that person. These are the things he's just been showing me. Everyone has a personal experience with Jesus Christ. I believe everybody, you all have a personal experience of how he will use you, how he needs to mold you, how he needs to transform you. You know, his feelings with his Holy Spirit, serving Jesus Christ, everything shouldn't be pain. When you go through a trial, it should be, I don't want to say pleasure. It should be, you should be able to rejoice greatly because you're seeing what he's dealing with in the heart. It should be like, oh man, hallelujah, God. Father, thank you for, you know, showing me this and bringing me. We don't act though. You have not because you act not. And that was me. You know, something, a trial would come and I'd be like, and then the Lord was trying to show me, this is what I'm trying to do with you. This is what I'm doing with you, man. That perfection that would come out of me being brought to repentance, you know, seeing the trial for what it is, seeing the trial for what it is, you know, because that's what we want to see. We need to not only just go through our trials, but we want to know and see the trial for what it is so that there can be rejoicing when we're in the prison, like Paul, who was beaten and cast in the prison unfairly, but was able to praise God and watch the chains fall off of his legs and ended up getting a man's household and his friends along with him saved. And so God is really going, putting you through a trial for the, not only for, oh God, I can't put enough words to it, but for the salvation of many souls, to get rid of that frailty, not to just be able to sit here and say, oh, how I love Jesus. But when you get that unction, you need to tell that person that Jesus loves them. We go and do it. It feels natural to us. It becomes easy. It's not like, oh, I got to go tell this person that Jesus loves them. Oh, God, they're going to look at me. It just becomes natural. Hey, can I talk to you for a second? Oh, man, the Lord just wanted me to tell you that he loves you. And you can't feel an ounce of embarrassment because that's how natural it is. You begin to understand, oh, this is why you put me through the trial. This is why you rebuked me, chastised me, corrected me. Joy, the joy of the Lord. Ask him what the trial is for. You know, ask him what the situation is for. Give you the revelation of the trial. That's part of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ is in the trial. The trial is part of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It really is. You know, he suffered on the cross. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. He got beaten. There's a revelation of Jesus Christ. He was nailed. There's a revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, he suffered. You know, he was spit on. All that has revelation and releasing power of Jesus Christ. You know, and I'm glad I suffered the things that I suffered. You know, I'm glad, you know, the Lord had to do what he needed to do to me. Because I no longer sit down and I'm like, here comes another trial. Oh God, please. And you're just this hopeless material of never understanding. The devil becomes so big that you have absolutely no more joy in your walk with Christ. The demonic realm becomes so absolutely encompassing that Jesus feels like that little small fly that's on your shoulder. And maybe one day you might have a time of peace and rejoicing and a time of experiencing his love. And, oh, maybe one day I'll get out of the trial long enough just to take a breath and be like, oh, God, thank you for something. I got tired of feeling like that. That was my life. My life sucked. My walk in Christ sucked to me. And he had to change my perspective. And I'm just speaking further into my perspective. But I'm telling you, If we can look at everything as doctrine, the tree is doctrine, the mountains are doctrine. Jesus used absolutely everything in that Bible for doctrine. Everything. If you speak to it according to its doctrine, against it, whether good or evil, you squash that thing. I'm not just speaking to the clouds. I'm speaking to the tongue of Satan. I'm speaking against the tongue of Satan with the word of God. His doctrine shall not stand. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm speaking to that doctrine of sickness in my leg or in my body, you know, or in my head or in my hands or in my feet. I command that doctrine to get off of it. You know, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know, and that's why Jesus said, he said, he healed them with a word. Amazing. With a word. You didn't get no doctor's tool, Jesus? Nah. I just spoke my word. And I got rid of the false doctrine. And I spoke the true doctrine. See, a lot of false doctrine out there. A lot of antichrist events going on out there, you know. But if we speak the Christ, you know, we can show what is the antichrist. You know, we can take down the false doctrine. Because that's how it began. Just a little bit of doctrine. Did God say? But that's all I got to say.
Thank you, Willie. That was good. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Okay, Pat, go ahead. Oh,
I didn't see my hand up.
Oh, you didn't. I'd almost bet I saw it. No, you go ahead.
So, Willie, I'm not sure I understand what you mean by connecting a doctrine. However, I was what was coming to my mind is that every doctrine, let's just say that I see what you're saying about a person, or we all at whatever time, we believe the way we have been given to believe, mostly inherited from the world's perspective. And in that believing sets our way as to what way we walk and what way we are comfortable in walking. And obviously when we come into contact with the Lord and we start to see his word, and then of course the decision comes, we're faced with the decision as to whether or not I'm going to believe that word and I'm going to give up my, what I now currently believe as truth, then the struggle comes and, all those that love the Lord, eventually, if it's not immediately, eventually come back around to holding on to that truth, whether they are convinced about it or not, and take that leap of trust in their love of the Lord and submit themselves to that truth and allow that truth to knock out the foundations of the unbelief that they're currently believing or resting upon. And there's a process that we all have to go through, which is a wrestling or a counting of the cost or an evaluation process that happens within us as we struggle with truth, so to speak, struggle with these things. And that evaluation process is necessary because it forces us to think about those things and to wrestle with them, so to speak. And that wrestling in that process, that wrestling is whether or not we're going to give up our right to believe what we want to or what we're comfortable with and let that die and grasp and hold on to what the Lord is showing us as truth. What I personally struggle over is that knowing the benefit of that operation within myself over the years have wrestled with how much I have to allow that to happen in other people, that I'm, I used to probably like everybody else, somebody would come struggling with a problem. Oh, I know that. Pop, slam the old scripture in there, expect the change and everything like that. And, but it doesn't happen that way. People, the scripture, I was looking for that verse in Proverbs, but basically what it is that a person has to struggle with the consequences of their sin sometimes before they will be and there has to be a failure process there in that enlightenment to get motivate or bring a person, allow a person, I don't know how to say it, allow the circumstances to knock the wind out of them, so to speak, before they are quiet enough to hear another input. And it's knowing how, it's knowing when to step in. I know that, again, I tend to want to jump in and explain things and, such and such and go through, a progression of events or a progression of thought and go from one scripture to the next. But the bottom line is, Pat doesn't help anybody. It's only the Spirit of God that makes a connection in that person and makes those connections so that person can see from their perspective and grasp the truth. Because it's only the truth as revealed by the Lord to that person's heart that they will respond to that truth. And it's, you know, it's all connected to also resting in the fact that God loves them. I know what you were saying there. And sometimes it is humbling just to say, you know, to have the only thing you can say is, well, God loves you in this process. He loves you. You can reach out to him. And I personally, in saying that, sometimes I feel helpless because I want to jump in and, you know, and really, you know, say what I feel, you know, what I feel that I'm seeing, and I can, you know, help and get, we can go through these mental logistics here and take care of this problem. But it's only the Spirit of God that really brings us through the process. And if we are humble enough to yield to that and be willing to change, and I guess sometimes I just need to know, I think, when to shut up, when to speak, when to allow God to do whatever he wants to do in the process. And I would just love the wisdom to be able to, and the sensitivity of his Spirit, just to speak when he wants me to speak, and know where to go when he wants me to go, type thing. So I'm listening to what you're saying. It's kind of bringing me through a thinking process of where the Lord has me in this. So anyway, that was all.
Amen. Cheryl, that sounds like a bad, mean dog.
Oop. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I might have accidentally unmuted. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. We got to hear that little biscuit eater. Amen. All right. Thank you, Pat. Anybody got any comments or anything I'd like to say? Look at this verse. Verses. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12 and 13. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. What does that mean to y'all? Let me just throw that out there. Oh, I see instant recognition. Does that mean that the Word of God sees everything that we do? Does that mean that our hearts are even open to him? Our thought life is even open to him? Is that what he's talking about? Yeah, Andrew.
I think it is the sovereignty of God. And the way I think of it is, God's word creates and is still creating us. We all have a journey to walk. We have a pilgrimage. And he'll even tell you what's going to happen in the future. And, you know, when a person says something that he's got a word from the Lord, my hope is that he does have a word from the Lord. Because, you know, I want to, we usually do get some really good dreams here and words from the Lord. And you got to jump on that right away. Sometimes, you know, people hesitate. I don't know why. But anyway, to trust in the Lord is a great rest anyway. To have that rest and because there's no one else to go to. Who else are you gonna go to? Like, the Lord is the Lord. There's no one else to go to, and he's just reiterating in those verses on how we do enter this rest and to trust in him. Because he's sovereign over it, and you know he sets it up, he choreographs it. You know, like if you were to go to a dance studio, you have the choreographer, and he sets up everything, and he says, "This is how we're going to do our act today." Or even in the movies, you know, they do. Picture scenes, and they draw them down up what the actors are supposed to do and stuff. Well, God doesn't have to do that because he's got the picture and everything all set up, and he already knew from the beginning of time how it was going to go down. So that's how he does it. And you just don't argue with that, because that's just so fantastic that he's going to do it, because he doesn't lie, and he's not like a man, you know. A man can't, if you can imagine all the things that has to come together to build a house, you know, he's got it already built because he just speaks it. Or he's got the movie already done. You know, the movie or the scene that they make up in the theaters, you know, it takes a lot of time, and you see all the credits and all those people in there. Well, God does it with the whole world. And it's already choreographed and done. He's got it the way he wants it done. You're either on the left hand or on the right hand. There's no in between here. And he gives you verses that show you that, you know, so that you don't go with the iniquity, you go with the righteousness, you know. And to look at it from perhaps an angel's point of view, okay? This angel is going to go and do what the Lord's word says to do. And we have to be that way too. We have a desire and a great love to want to love God and go do that. But then again, we don't go ahead of him. We've got to follow him. You know, the yoke that we are yoked to is I used to think it was side by side, and it kind of is, but it's also you and him on the inside, Jesus. And of course, the controller of all of this, if to coin a phrase, you get a joy pad with a game, is God. And I don't know what that pad would look like, but he controls it all through his Holy Spirit, which we know is omnipresent anyway. So, like it says in the book of Revelation, you see the throne of God, you see the throne of Jesus, but you don't see the third throne over there. What I was taught was, if you saw that third throne of the Holy Spirit, that's all you'd see before your eyeball. And we, God's in control, and he's the only one omnipresent and sovereign over all things. So why would you not trust someone like that, whom you were taught to call father? So it's a different kind of father, you know, and that's the wonder and wonderfulness of it, you know, like, you know, everything, you know, there's a song, if a tree falls in the forest, does anybody hear it? Well, God does. He knows everything about that tree. He knew when it was a seed that went into the ground. And if you think of that, the fascination of that, to know all that stuff, you know, and we're supposed to be his children, just what are we going to learn in heaven anyway? How to be more like our Father? Anyways, praise and glory to God.
All right, go ahead, Missy.
Well, just some thoughts about that. There's scriptures, you know, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. The word of God, Jesus is the word of God made flesh, you know, but it what it also reminded me of was Psalm 139, the first four verses and the last two verses. O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my sitting down and my rising, uprising, and understand my thought afar off. Thou searchest out my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. And then the very last two verses, 23, 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And he searches us and tries us according to his word. You know, what to him much has been given, much is required. You know, what we don't know is sin isn't held against us. What we don't know isn't held against us. But what it is that we need to know more than anything is the Lord. And the Lord is the Word, and the Word is the Spirit. You know, the Lord, you know, it's just a cycle there. But that's just what those verses reminded me of, made me, brought to my mind. It's his God that tries us. It's his word that tries us.
All right. Jesus. Thank you, Missy. Go ahead, Julie.
I was kind of thinking about how it goes in context with the verses before that about entering into the rest. Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not speak later of another day. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever enters God's rest also ceases from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest that no man fall by the same sort of disobedience, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So I was saying you have to kind of look at those verses, because we're all supposed to enter into the rest. We're all supposed to enter into that Sabbath rest where we cease from our works of trying to save ourselves, be better, do better, and all that stuff. And his word will show you where, you know, if you allow him to search you, right? Search me and know me. Know all my ways. You know, it's like, why am I not resting? Why can't I rest? Where am I in unbelief? Or why am I still striving with all of this other stuff when I need to be striving to enter the rest? No, God, you already did this. No, you already did this. I believe you. So that's kind of what I was thinking about that. Those verses about, because he already knows why we struggle or why we're not resting or something. So. That's just my thoughts.
Okay, very good. Go ahead, Pat.
I was, so that was one of my favorite verses as well. And obviously it starts out with the fact that God's word is living, which you can meditate a lot on just that. And knowing that when you receive that word into you, it's doing things in there, whether you know it or not. It's alive. And it's, you know, it's kicking the tumblers, you know, and whatever. It's functioning inside you. But when he says sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing, I'm reading this in the American Standard and thinking of this in the King James, but dividing asunder or whatever of the soul and the spirit. And it's interesting that his word divides, that division that happens within us. And I think it must be very important to the Lord that we're able to see the difference, the separation. If something isn't separated from you, you can't discern the difference. You don't know if it's there or not. There's that, what is it, that example that I've heard ever since I became a Christian about, and the idea is getting used to sin, where if you took a frog and you put him in a pot of water and then you very slowly turned up the heat, that frog would acclimate and get used to that rising, that slow rising temperature, and would actually stay in that pot of water until it started boiling and killed it. And because it acclimates and gets used to it through the process. And because that frog is unable to discern the separation. But if you, you threw hot water on that frog, that, in an otherwise condition, that frog would jump out of the way, because it discerns the difference there of hot and cold. Well, God's saying that his word does that with our spirit, separates our spirit from our soul. And which is something to meditate on in this process that God has us in, because and it goes and kind of continues to clarify that soul and spirit is like joints and marrow. Joints are the structure of the bones that allow it to function, but the marrow is that life-giving source within the bones that keeps our body, regulates the blood. And I'm not sure all of what it does, but that life is in that marrow portion of the bones. Somebody else who knows more about that could probably explain that, but it is also quick to discern the thoughts, which are for the most part, connected with the soul, not totally, but it's the major focus of the soul are thoughts, but the intent, so the intentions or the motivations are more directed or focused in the spirit. And so that being said, sometimes we we struggle with certain thoughts keep coming up and certain things keep coming up, and God brings his word into us to kind of separate those thoughts so that we can see if it's just a functioning of a thought process happening there, or is there motivation here in my heart, in my spirit that gives way and allows those thoughts to function. And of course, if we're able to understand, to see the intention that is in place, this kind of goes back to what Willie was saying about doctrine. If we're able to see the intention or the motivation that is allowing that those thoughts to take place, to in our soul, the moment you deal with that intention or that motivation, it may be, oh God, that is not mine to control. That's not mine. That is yours. It may be giving up something, giving up the right of something or whatever it would be. God leads us through, but he'll, once you deal with that motivation, those thoughts have nothing to stand on. They may come back as a temptation to get you to think that they have a position in your life. But when you deal with the motivation, they're simply dismissed. You boot them out, because they have no strength by which they can rest in your soul. Those thoughts are powerless to remain, especially when you reinforce the truth that God has placed in your spirit and remove that improper motivation. So this is kind of the area of that scripture that kind of grabbed me in the discipleship process that God has us in here. But the neat thing about it is God knows this from the beginning. He knew this when he created us from the foundation of the world, when he said, "Let us make man in our image." There is no creature that is not absolutely clear in his sight. He knows us from the inside out, and he knows the cause and effect relationships that happened in our life from Adam and Eve on to where we are right now. He knows everything about us. He knew us before. He knows exactly how to lead us out of unbelief in every area of our life, and he knows how to lead us step by step into that perfect, complete place that he has created for us in Christ. And I think at the very foundation of that, what I see in those verses of the soul and the spirit is that, and I know we say that, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And that verse is connected with this truth as well, and intertwines and marries in with that, this truth of the Lord dividing us from our soul and our spirit, dividing, making that division so that we can fulfill that very scripture there, Galatians 2:20, when he said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. What died and what is living, you know? So I'm not going to say any more than that, but there, it's connected with this truth, I believe, right here in Hebrews, because there's a tendency to think that that death was an aspect of going out of existence or not having an awareness, going out of existence. But our spirit, I believe, becomes more aware, and we are able to, through this faith, to allow that soul to be crucified by his truth and allow his life of the soul to be functioning in our soul through cooperation of our spirit. So I don't know. I'm probably starting to ramble here, but anyway, I'm going to let it go at that. That's what this scripture means to me, is being able to see or perceive or be aware of that, the cause and effect relationship between the soul and the spirit. So
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Pat. Should we, and I know you've all done it, and I've done it in the past myself, we should read the Word of God as if it's just another book. We ought to read the Word of God as if Jesus was standing right there in front of you talking. That will affect you in a way that just reading, it doesn't have just a regular message, like just a book of sociology or something like that. This book is living, man, I'm telling you. There's things in there that will set your soul on fire. The whole book will, if you'll read it like it's Jesus speaking to you or God is speaking to you. And you start acting on what God is speaking to you. That's when you start walking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, and acting like Jesus. Yes. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? The relationship that you have with God is the same relationship you have with the Word. In my humblest estimation. Yes, he did. He sent his word to us for a reason. He wants us to be like him. When you preach the true word of God to the people out there, you give them the true word of God, it's living, and it'll bring people to Jesus. And that's why he wants us to get us in our hearts. When you get it in your heart, I'm speaking to myself here also. When we get it into our hearts and we go out and we speak the word of God to the people, it's living. I'm telling you, people will come to Jesus. Okay. Anybody else? We're going to see that, folks. We're going to see that God is rising up. He's raising up some ministers of God that will speak the truth, and the people will see signs and wonders following them. And when they hear the truth of God coming out of their mouth, they're coming into the kingdom. And that's what this last time's revival is going to be about. Talking Jesus, walking Jesus, and acting Jesus. Those are the men and women that the people will look to. They've already seen what the apostate preachers are doing. Nothing. They don't have any power, so to speak. All they have, you've got, well, I'm not even going to go there. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding you, and he does it by the word of God also, you're going to affect people in a very powerful way. You're going to be, well, I'll tell you, I've seen a little snippet of what God can do through people who understand and preach the word and know what they have in them when they're filled up with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled up with the Holy Spirit, you've got every tool that Jesus had. You've got every tool that he had. And all he wants us to do is to speak it out and to walk it out and to do it. We can read and we can study. That's fine. But when you read and you study, that's fine. But let's go ahead and do what the word says too. That's where we've made a big mistake. I know all there is to know about the Bible. Well, okay, that's great. Are you doing anything it says? What are you talking about? Are you going out healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, spreading the gospel of the good news? I want to. That's what the word of God's for, is to stir up the spirit inside of you to do the things that he wants you to do. Okie dokie. Yeah, Missy.
I'd like to read some quotes out of Saving Our Families by Faith. And this here, it's really good, and it's related to what Michael was just talking about. David said, each one of us has to be a river of living water that comes out of the throne of God in our hearts. So we give life to everything around us when we speak in agreement with the word of God. But because he's enthroned in our hearts, right? And that living water is the word. It comes out of us. So anyway, and then he also says, we've seen that the healing of the tongue is a tree of life. And we've learned the leaves are for healing, for the healing of the nations. They take in life. And they put out life. If you don't put out life, you're not going to take in life very long. You're going to die. Here's another, you're going to slowly die. And then here's another quote. When your healing waters coming out of your innermost being touch another soul, their waters become healed and they're able to touch another soul. And it becomes a geometric progression touching multitudes of people. The waters shall be healed, and those who are dead in their sins or dead in their thought life or dead in their speech can have the resurrection life of Jesus, and then they can pass on the blessing too. Hallelujah. That's just some quotes there that really thought about. That were just really encouraging to me. And I was reading this when I was at my parents, and my dad was going through his ordeal. And it just really encouraged me with being there. I'm just, my prayer was, Lord, let me be that living water of life. You be the one that it flows out of, you know, being thrown in my heart that the river, you know, what came to me, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that
life. Come on, sing for me, girl.
quick rendition of that. But anyway, but yeah, I want the Lord, and I know we all do, to be enthroned in our hearts, that the river of water of life flows out of us to all those around us. And so it's not just our words, but it's our actions too. You know, we have to have the talk and the walk, the talk. And we have to walk the talk and talk the walk.
Amen. Thank you, Missy. That was good. Anybody else? You know, they say in the radio business, when you have a silent mic, that's not good. Go ahead, Willie. Thank you, brother.
Ah, yeah. Praise the Lord. I was just sitting here listening to everybody. It was like, that's exactly what I was trying to say. Doctrine. That's exactly what I mean. Dead in our sin, dead in our thoughts, dead in our speech, you know, how you put it. Oh, man. When the reason why I said doctrine was not to try to cause people to think a certain way, but the Lord was telling me, look, everything was created by my word. And anything that deviates from that is a different doctrine. Everything follows the pattern of my word. If man decides to do something outside of my word, it's because it came from a different doctrine. It came from another, this isn't my teaching. You know, this isn't my manifestation. And I was just sitting there when the Lord hit me with that, like, you're right, Lord. When Christ, go ahead, Missy. I can see your hand.
Well, what came to me is, you know, what I think it's in 2 Corinthians 10 or 11, where Paul talks about, you know, people coming with another Jesus, a different spirit, a different gospel.
Exactly. You know, it shot up so much confidence in my heart to where I even looked at my own unbelief and I began to see, wait a minute, it's a different doctrine that's going on in my head. I actually don't have to believe this. And it was God like putting that check on unbelief, like, that's just a different doctrine, Willie. That's, you know, that's Satan saying, did God say? You know, there was war in heaven. How did the war get started?
I shall ascend above the heights of the clouds. I shall set my throne above the stars of heaven. I shall be like the Most High God.
We've never heard this doctrine before. Oh, hey, look, and it created a different dwelling place for them, a place called hell. And when we have a tendency to believe that doctrine, we go through all this hell to get out of it. You know, you experience hell. You hear people go, you know, life's hell. That's your belief, isn't it? That's your doctrine. So that's your life. That's, yep. Your, mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Can I pray with you about anything? And man, when I was saying, like, you have this natural tendency to walk up to people, I was sitting in my office at work, and I wasn't intending to talk to anybody. You know, I had a small hope from in the Lord. I was like, you know, I like to talk to this person, but I didn't put it on myself to do it. You know, it's taught me to be really patient, very patient, and not to even worry about a single lick who I talk to, then when I said it, where it communicates, how far it gets, and who listens. And suddenly out of my mouth, this person comes out of their room. I work in a homeless shelter. And I'm like, the Lord got something for you. Didn't plan on saying anything. Didn't try to say anything. It just blah, 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 blah. And then, blah, 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 blah. And everything I said went straight to her heart. She said, that's exactly what I needed to hear. The Lord knows how to deal with that doctrine, that war that started in heaven, that thing that has us in sin today. You know, and it was brought down to the earth with a few words, did God say, and started a kaleidoscope of mental, physical, you know, all around devastation, spirit, soul, body devastation. And I just, once again, I'm not going to take up too much time, but it says, you know, He healed them with a word. And if we just see the simplicity of that statement, he healed them with a word. Oh my God, that was so simple. That was so, man. I can't get over it. You know, I look at it and I'm just like, Lord, Lord, you're telling me that all I have to do is not believe that doctrine. And just believe your doctrine, and that doctrine will, none of theirs will come to pass. And the Lord's like, it's that simple. What you're doing is based on a belief. It's a teaching. It came from the evil one. It's another doctrine. This is just how it's manifesting itself. So this is what I want you to say. And then I'll go by how the Holy Spirit wants me to speak against it. And I'll leave it because I know that his doctrine is the only thing that stands true. It created the heavens and the earth. Listen, how does he say it? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So whatever other doctrine was created in this earth, guess what? It's going to pass away. Letting you know if God told you to pray for something, somebody, something, you immediately have the victory. You immediately have the victory. The promise was his word will never pass away, but the doctrine in this earth shall pass away. You know, I just find that a beautiful thing. It's powerful. It's powerful. But I'm done.
I mean, that word would never pass away. I read somewhere, let me think, somebody had died and gone to heaven and had talked about meeting Paul, and that Paul was still teaching the word up in heaven. Still teaching it. Well, I thought when we got up, we know everything there is to know about everything there is to know about everything. But no, you're still going to learn more and more about God and Jesus. And how are we supposed to be, you know? That's heaven. Glory to God. Yeah, I believe it. I believe this word is powerful. I know it is. I've seen it in action. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Anybody else?
Welly, I just wanted to mention you sound 100% clearer since you got rid of your earphones. You can hear.
He didn't get rid of them. He just put them on his neck. But the Something microphone happened. Is clear. Yes, it is. It's much clearer. Really, I appreciate what you've shared with us tonight, and Pat too, and everybody else. It's been great, actually. It's been good. Yeah, we need to read the word like it's the word of God. It's God speaking to us. Word of God. Yep, that's right, Julie. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's exactly right. You know, most of man-made books only last a generation. That's about all they'll last. But this book here, the Word of God, has lasted for centuries and centuries. And guess what? It's going to last from now on. It's going to be with us the whole time. Glory to God. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? We're about 7 minutes. Joe, you got regular electricity now?
Michael, well, yeah, yesterday was 10 hours, so I'm good at this moment in time. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for 10 hours. Lord, we thank you when he gets to 12 hours, 44 hours a day, 24/7. Glory to God. Amen. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. All right. It looks like we're coming into a, if you didn't know the Lord, you're coming into a scary time in the world. But if you know the Lord, you don't worry, do you? God is our light. We walk as he walked. We're the light for the world. Hold on to Jesus. I like it. That's right. Hold on to Jesus, because he's the light. We're the light with him. And that's what's going to bring the people in. We're going to be the light that they see. When they see that light, they're going to run to us. How many of you know that Psalm 91 is for you? And you could pray that, bless God, and you ain't nothing going to hurt. Nothing. Nothing shall anywise hurt you, right? Glory to God. See you, Pat. Bless you, brother. Have a great day.
I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, I thought you were waving bye.
I was raised in my hand.
Oh, boy. I'm so, well, I'm so used to you going, thinking out a little early because of your work sometimes, yeah. I guess. Go ahead.
So when the anointing comes, will we be... I believe that will be the empowerment of the Spirit to be released to function totally in the life of Christ, so that the life of Jesus flows naturally without restrictions. But will we, obviously the body is put together in such a way that what one part lacks, the other part supplies. And I'm thinking of the scripture that then I will know even as I am known, or something. Will there be a clarity or more of an awareness or a faith like that? You know, a strength that everybody has to function in their gifts, will that permeate to others as well? Does it, you know what I'm trying to say? Willie? I guess Willie's got the answer, I guess.
You know what? This got to be God. I am telling you. Check this out. Now, I'm going to read 33 and 34 of John chapter 3, verses 33 and 34. He that has received his witness has set his seal to this, that God is true. Now, here's that answer to your question. For he whom God has sent speaketh the word of God, for he giveth not the spirit by measure. The first thing we think about was, you know, Jesus was given the fullness of the Spirit, which is true, right? Now, we are that body whom God has given the head, the fullness of the Spirit. So in like manner, as a body, we work in the fullness of the Spirit. We should all be believing on working in the fullness of the Spirit, one toward another, one for another, you know. Not just looking at it as in, oh, I got to measure too, you know, but no, we got the fullness of the Spirit functioning in all of us as a body. Oh, God, don't let it escape me. We have the fullness of the Spirit functioning all in us, functioning in all of us. For the edification of the body in love. So don't look at yourself as just, no, I got that fullness of the Spirit working in me, coming down from the head for the body. And this is the portion of it. And you got the portion of it. And it's powerful. It's not this. It's powerful. It's powerful, powerful. Oh, God, it's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. They're going to see the fullness of the Godhead bodily working in us. For the Spirit was poured out upon the head without measure. Imagine. Now look at the perspective differently. Stop looking at portions. We all got our portions, yes. But stop don't put the perspective of the portions in a box. Let it function as it's supposed to from the head without measure. It's supposed to function from the head through you without measure. That's all I can really say. I'm not going to go further than that. The Holy Spirit's not giving me anything beyond that. So I'm going to stop right there.
Amen. That's exactly what I try to teach too, is you have everything you need right now. You just have to dig in there and find out what that need is, what all of it is. That's in the Word of God. Go ahead, Ben.
I just kind of wanted to add on to what Willie was saying, was just that I'm sure it popped into other people's heads, but all you need is a faith is the size of a mustard seed, right? Like, we all have the same Spirit. You know, it's not like, oh, this guy has more of the Spirit than me. It's like, no, we all have the same Spirit. It's just, I believe there's people that are more submitted to that Spirit or have Well, again, I don't want to put like levels on it, but there's more people submitted to that spirit, I guess you could say, and have greater belief, and there's less hindering of worldliness upon them in doubt. Is doubt something different from unbelief? But it's all the same spirit. It's all the same faith. It's just our own sinful nature that holds us back from committing to this faith, I guess, is what I'm seeing. Again, just a mustard seed size of faith. That's all we need.
Amen. We're out of time. This is not the time to bring up that subject because that is so deep and so revelatory. We'll resume this Thursday night. Lord, I thank you for placing in each one of us to seek out what is. We're the vine. I mean, you're the vine and we're the branches. And if we're the branches, we get everything the vine gets. And Father, I just thank you for that. And I thank you, Father, for giving us the wisdom and discernment to understand that what is right. We don't need anything other than what you've already given us to get the gospel out. All we need to do is get more of it in us. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Father, that the anointing that's coming is going to be nice. It's going to be nice. The latter rain anointing is going to be great, but it's for a specific reason. And I praise you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that everybody here this next Thursday night looks and sees what it is that we need to, what you're talking about when you say that we're the branch and you're the vine. Everything you've got is us. I thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers tonight. I praise you, Father, that everybody here is going to get a good night's sleep tonight, or a good day's work if they wake. And everybody here is going to have good electricity tomorrow or tonight and wherever you are in the world. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord, that the Galchenkos have a peaceful house in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody here has a peaceful house in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you're moving faction out in the name of Jesus. We don't allow it, and it's not prevalent in our fellowship in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, it's not allowed. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. All right. Good night, saints.